Well, I'm back. Hello again. Hallelujah. Well, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for the truth of your word. It is light and life. It is bread that feeds us. It is a light that guides us. It is everything to us. It sustains us. Your word is everything. And Lord, I just invite your spirit to shine anew and afresh, that it would illuminate your word, your holy word this morning, and spark something new and fresh inside of each and every one of us, Lord. That you would illuminate our hearts to understand your greatness, your glory. You are so awesome, God. Let the words be spoken today be your words, not man's, not flesh words, but your words, spirit words. We thank you, Lord, that you are good. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, in case you haven't noticed, our pastors, Barbara and Calvin, are not with us this morning. I know people were called and notified, and if you're on Facebook, you heard, or if you're on my group chat, you heard. But in case you didn't know, this past week on Friday morning, Pastor Calvin had a triple bypass heart surgery. It was about a four-hour-long surgery, and he had been having some issues for a while, and he had texted me to save his marriage and to have a good relationship with Barbara. He went to the doctor, and they ran some tests, and on Monday, they had done a heart catheterization where they go in and they look and see different things, you know, what's going on, and they found three major blockages in his arteries. One was 100% blockage, and the other two were 80%. So they scheduled a triple bypass surgery, which was Friday morning. And glory to God, the surgery went great. He is doing great. Healing. Yesterday he was in a lot of pain, as you can imagine. But today, he was able to rest more last night, and today he's not in as much pain. And one of the really awesome things is that he's at St. Mary's Hospital, and something that I did not know, I work in the medical profession, and we get a lot of people. I work at the long-term care facility here, and we get people from hospitals from all over, and we get people from St. Mary's all the time. But I had never heard what a faith hospital it is. Becky was telling me this morning how they have morning prayer over the intercom. And they pray, and in Jesus' name, amen. And where people are there, and they're stopping, and they're praying. And some people, you know, are doing the sign of the cross to represent their faith. And other people are raising their hands where they are and praying. And he has messaged me about how there's so many faith filled people there at the hospital with him, and that is God. No matter what we're going through, God carries us through. He will put his hand in everything if we trust him. And he had surgery, like I said, on Friday morning, and the next day when Barbara went to go see him, he was up and walking around, and one of the medical staff there jokingly made the comment that, you know, he must have gone there for ingrown toenail surgery, not triple bypass surgery. I mean, God is doing a work in his body, we give him glory for that. He is doing awesome. He is scheduled to be released Tuesday. They had originally said that he would be there about a week, but because of the progress and the recovery that he's making, the plan is he's going to get out early, which is awesome. So I know people have asked me where they can send flowers or cards, but because he's going to come home so quickly, you can always send a card to the P.O. box that they have here, or, you know, to their house directly, as they should be coming home within the next couple days. So God is good. He is good. Hallelujah. And Marcus, making progress every day, doing good. He had recently had to go back into the hospital, readmitted just for some bowel issues. He needed some things to get cleared out. But health-wise, overall, he is still doing good. He's responding well. He's lifting his hands when he couldn't before, and doing things that every day it's progress, new things. And God is doing a good work in him too. It's just, it's amazing to see how God will always, like I said, God will always show himself. If we see, if we look for him, if we realize, like, man, that was God, like, he's always there. He's always there lining things up, and that's just how he works. Well, today, it's funny how, well, it's not funny, it's God, but God had really been putting in my heart, just been dealing with me about faith. And, you know, we need faith. And I had shared a couple weeks ago about faith. And then God started doing a work in Barbara and Calvin and stirring their heart about faith. And last week they did like a tag team message on faith. And when we were getting ready to do the message today, it was like, well, I'm not done talking about faith. Like, okay, so we'll keep talking about faith. Faith is good, right? I mean, faith is a good thing. We are here at Faith Ministries Church, so might as well talk about faith, right? We're here. It's important. So when I had talked a couple weeks ago, I'm just going to do like a little bit of a recap, and then we'll move forward. So the definition of faith by Webster's Dictionary is allegiance to duty or a person, so basically loyalty, a belief and trust in and loyalty to God, firm belief in something for which there is no proof, complete trust, or something that is believed, especially with strong conviction, without question. So, a little bit of a nutshell on what faith is. And, you know, really, faith is vital to our religion. I mean, really, to most religions, you got to believe what you're believing, right? Like, it's kind of, it goes hand in hand. And in the Christian religion, I really don't like that word, it's you know, Christian religion is just relationship with God. That's all it is. And we use the word religion because that's how people understand it best. But really, that's all Christianity is just a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's it. And in the word, in Hebrews 11:6, in the New King James Version, it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So I'm going to read that one more time. Hebrews 11:6. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him." Speaking of God. "For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Now, I really like the way the Message version, you know, there's different versions of the Bible. So if you have a version of the Bible that you can't understand, get another one, because there are plenty of different versions that speak the truth of God in a way that will hit home for you. So I personally use the New Living Translation on my daily basis, but I love all of them. It's good. So in the Message, do we have the Message? Yeah, okay. So in the Message version, it says, "It is impossible to please God apart from faith." And why? "Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he, God, cares enough to respond to those who seek him." That is so good. We got to believe not just that he exists, because, yeah, people believe, yeah, you know, there's a God out there, whatever. But we also have to believe that God cares enough about us that he is going to respond to us when we reach out to him. We have to believe. It's a requirement to our faith. It says here it's impossible to please God without believing. They go hand in hand. And last week when Barbara and Calvin had preached, you know, Calvin shared the funny story that how he had been at a church and he had been talking about, they had been traveling all over, and he had shared a message about faith in this church and basically saying, you know, to believe is a powerful thing. And he said that it was like, you know, he preached like passion. And he said, I must have said, you know, over 50 times, to believe is a powerful thing. And after the service, this sweet little lady came up to him and she's like, Pastor, that was the best sermon that I've ever heard. That, you know, that really touched me. That was the best preaching I've heard in a long time. What did you preach about again? And he said, I told her that if you got anything from the sermon, just to believe is a powerful thing. To believe is a powerful thing. And I'm going to piggyback off of that today. And the title of this message is, To Believe is a Powerful Thing. To believe is a powerful thing. Do you know that your faith has power? It has power. It does. It does. Hebrews 11 in your Bible, whatever version you're reading, Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter. And it talks about, over and over, I mean, it talks about how all these people, all these different people did these impossible things for the glory of God by faith in him. By faith in him. It says, you know, it was by faith that Noah built the ark. It was by faith that Abraham obeyed God and believed in him. It was by faith that Moses left the land of Egypt. It was by faith that so-and-so. It was by faith that so-and-so did this. It was by faith that so-and-so did that. It was all by faith. By faith in God. And I love the very last part in Hebrews 11, 33 through 34. It says, By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, they quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Now, was that them? No, it wasn't them, but it was their faith in the God who could that let them. It wasn't them, because they were all messed up people. Like, none of them were perfect. They were all sinners. They were all had, you know, stuff that happened. Like Moses, he was like a stutterer or something. Like, they all had like different issues. But God was bigger than them. Their God was bigger than the circumstance, and they took him at his word, and he did awesome things. That's how God works. He turned their weakness to strength by their faith. Through their faith, their weakness was turned to strength. Now, I don't know about you, but I have weaknesses in my life. I do not always have, you know, I have moments. I have times when, you know, it's like, well, you have doubts. You're like, what, you know, what is even going on? Like, what am I? But God, that is the key. We have our things, and we all have our flaws and whatever, because if we were perfect, we would have gotten taken up. If we're still here, we're not perfect, but we serve the God who is perfect, and day by day, he perfects us, and he takes us from glory to glory by our faith in him. It is our faith, it is by faith that we are saved. Hallelujah. In the first verse of that chapter, Hebrews 11:1, do we got that? Hebrews 11:1. It is, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I love the way that my Bible translates it. It says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen, and it gives us assurance about things we can't see. That's faith. It's trusting God that he's going to do what he said he's going to do. It's believing for something that you don't see or have with your physical, tangible being yet. Yet, that's the key word. So I'd like for us to turn in our Bibles. I want to go to Matthew chapter 17. And if you have, if If you have your Bible, let's go there. Matthew chapter 17, and I'm going to read an account of the life of Jesus. I always try to look for a different word than story. I mean, we read a story from the Bible, but it's like, that's not enough for in my thinking. Like, when I hear a story, I think of something that's like a fairy tale or like whatever. It's like an account. This is an account from the life of Jesus. This is something that he did in my history book here. Hallelujah. Okay, so Matthew chapter 17, starting in verse 14. This is where Jesus heals a demon-possessed boy, okay? So you may or may not have heard this, but we're going to read it. It says, and when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? So Jesus said to him, Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. To believe is a powerful thing. Amen? Repeat after me. To believe is a powerful thing. All right. We're going to do a little bit of that today, a little bit of group interaction. I always think of Leon he scares me, man. he is an on fire word of God, but sometimes he calls you out, and I feel like a kid in class when a teacher calls you out, and you're like, oh, God. He's so awesome. All right, so to believe is a powerful thing. And last week when Pastor Calvin was sharing, you know, it really hit me home hard, him talking about how it takes no faith to say what we see, think, and feel. It takes no faith, you know, it takes no faith to say you're broke when you're broke, you know. It takes no faith to say you're sick when you're sick, right? It takes no faith to say what we see, think, and feel, but it takes faith to plant a seed and believe that you're going to get a harvest from that seed. Mitch grew up in the middle of freaking nowhere in Ohio. Ohio, the middle of Ohio. I don't know. Where? What part of Ohio? The West? West Central. West Central Ohio. It's flat. It's green. You look over here, there's corn. You look over here, there's more corn. You look over here, there's a barn, and then guess what? There's corn next to it. Like, I get lost. Like, Mitch is like, hey, babe, you want to drive from, you know, we're going wherever, I don't know. They're all WAPOC. Like, they have all kinds of weird names. I'm like, no, I don't want to drive because I get lost. Here we have mountains. We, you know, I can see D Hills right there. I know where I'm going, and there it's just flat and green, and I get turned around so fast. I don't know. It gets me. But it's farmland where he lived growing up. It's farmland. There's farms, crops, different things everywhere. Many of the people there, the farmers, depend on those crops. That's like their livelihood. So when they plant, they expect and depend on the harvest that comes from what they planted. Okay? And Mitch touched on this a little bit when he talked about giving. In Galatians 6:7, it says, Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. That is the way that God designed our natural system to be. If you plant something, it's going to grow, right? If a seed is planted, it grows. nature. It's a law of nature. It takes no religion or faith to understand that. It happened. That's the way God designed it to be. And what's cool is I love Discovery Channel. I love Animal Planet. Like, I love, like, those, like, Planet Earth, like, those documentaries. And one of the cool things is in watching those, they have documented how plants grow pretty much anywhere. You can go to, like, Antarctica, like, places where there's ice, like, miles deep or whatever, and they will find plants there. They will find, you know, little algae things or, like, whatever. And and plants just grow. They find a way. You know, if there's a seed, it's going to grow. I don't know if you guys have ever been, like, walking along, you know, the road or the sidewalk, and then there'll be, like, a crack in the pavement or something, and there's a plant growing out of the cement. You know, or you see, like, pictures online, like, a tree growing out of the side of a cliff, or, like, old buildings that have been just forgotten, and there'll be, like, plants just growing out of them. Like, plants grow anywhere, almost. Something that's kind of embarrassing for us, a little bit of our own dirty laundry, is that, you know, we have a gutter system on our house, and my mom always gets on us like, you guys need to clean out the gutters, and everything is all clogged up in there, and it's going to ruin your gutters and whatever. And I'm like, always like, thanks, Mom, you know, great, I'm going to clean our gutters. And this past monsoon season, I was getting ready to get the kids out of the house, and I looked up at the house, because our cats always sit on the roof and whatever, so I always am looking up there to see what they're doing. And lo and behold, I saw some green things on our roof. I'm like, what the heck? And I look, and I'm looking, and sure enough, we had weeds growing out of our gutter. That does not seem like a good place for plants to grow, but there was enough dirt, moisture, junk that we had let get there, that there was enough for whatever seed that got deposited there, it was enough for it to grow. Embarrassing. So, like, look at our house. We have weeds growing out of our gutters. Like, that is horrible. But, you know, life finds a way. Life finds a way. Any of you guys watch Jurassic Park? Yeah, there's like four of them. There's going to be a fifth one soon, which, by the way, side note, super excited about. I love the Jurassic Parks. My kids, they almost ruin it because they want to watch them over and over. They really like it. And one of the key things, if you remember in the first one, where it talks about life finds a way. You know, life finds a way. And the dinosaurs, they started reproducing on their own and all kinds of crazy stuff, and that was their thing. Life finds a way. Well, you know what? That's biblical. Life finds a way. The word is alive. It's life. And if you plant the word, it's going to make a way. Something is going to happen. If you plant the seed of the word, it's going to take root and grow because it's life. Life will find a way. Hallelujah. So something that we have to understand, something that really struck me, and I was listening to a morning word from Johnny Rolette. And if you guys are on Facebook, I highly encourage you to follow him on Facebook, Johnny Rolette Ministries. He's going to be here in February. Awesome, awesome minister. They basically sold their house and everything they had to buy this ginormous trailer and just be obedient to God and travel the country and do outreach. Like, he's an evangelist, a country singer evangelist, and yeah, they're going to be here in February, but he has daily short exhortations about 10, 15 minutes long in the morning, usually around 7 o'clock is when they come on. And man, they have just been like, they have just been really ministering to me, and it's truth and just no frills and whatever. It's just the word of God and what you need, and it's good. So I encourage you, if you have Facebook, look them up. But anyways, so something that we really need to catch is God is not limited to your soil. Okay? God is not limited to your situation. Just like those plants grew out of the pavement, they grew in a place where you would think they could not grow. There's plants growing in ice and in, you know, volcanic activity areas and like different things where you would think there could be no life. There is life. And God is not limited to the soil that you're in right now. He is not limited to your situation. He doesn't look at your problem and say, oh, sorry, that's too hard. You gotta go talk to somebody else about that. Like, no, God is not limited to our soil. He is life, and life will find a way. He will make a way where there is no way. He will make a way. Because just like the, you know, the disciples and Jesus, when they were in the boat and the storm, you know, they were in the storm and Jesus was walking on the water and he had told them, you know, we're going to go to the other side and minister to these people. And the disciples were like freaking out because they were in the storm. And he said, paraphrasing, like, why y'all freaking out? Like, I told you we're going to go to the other side. And he said, peace be still. The storm was still, you know, and they made it to the other side. God will make a way. Just like Calvin, you know, when he was getting prepped for surgery, he had been messaging me and he said, well, I know that, you know, God has told me that I have some appointments that I need to do later on, so I know that I'm gonna get through this. Like, God's not gonna tell you you're gonna get to the other side to have you drowned in the boat on the way there. Like, he will make a way. He's gonna get you through. He's not going to give you a promise to meet you halfway and then say, whoops, sorry. Ran out of money to help you. Like, sorry, you know, somebody else used up all my time. Like, no, that's not how he works. He makes a way. And in Romans 4:17, it talks about Abraham. And it says that Abraham was blessed because he believed. And we all know Abraham was blessed, right? The promise of Abraham, that's our promise too. There's that song that you learned in Sunday school, Father Abraham, my son, I'm one of them, so are you, you know. Like, right, Abraham, he was a big-time dude in our faith. It says that he was blessed because he believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. God can create something out of nothing, and he can also make nothing out of something. That's how awesome our God is. He makes a way when there seems to be no way. Moses and the Israelites. This is a little bit of recap from when I had shared a couple weeks ago, but Moses and the Israelites, the great Exodus, you know, let my people go, and they finally, all the Israelites are leaving, and they get pushed up to the sea, you know, they're leaving, and they come into contact with the sea, and they're camped there, and then all of a sudden, you know, it says in the word that God hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and they all went after them, and, you know, the chariots and everything, and all the Israelites started freaking out, like, Moses, why did you bring us this far just to let us die? You know, we could have died. There are plenty of graves in Egypt. We could have just died over there instead of us dying over here. But what did God do? He said, cast your staff out over the water and part the water. Part the water. Like, go. He said, why are you sticking around here? You go. Like, go. God made a way. The reality of Moses' situation is that he was in a tough spot. The Egyptians were coming at them. They were going to kill him. He was backed up to the sea. There was nowhere to go. That was the reality of his situation. But that wasn't his truth. That wasn't his truth. God made a way. God made a way. And the truth of our situation is that God is bigger and more real than what we see. God is more real and bigger than the mountain that is standing in our way. God is more real and bigger than any problem or situation that this world can throw at us. He is bigger. He is greater. What does that word say? Do I look to the mountains? Does my help come from there? No. My help comes from the Lord, the one who made heavens and earth, the one who, that mountain is nothing compared to my God. Nothing. So faith is catching the truth that God is bigger than what you see. What was that promise in the end of Matthew 17 after we, you know, that whole part? It said, Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Have you guys ever seen a mustard seed? That's freaking tiny. Like, it's little. Like, it's like a little speck. It's not like a sunflower seed or a pumpkin seed. Like, those are pretty big seeds. A mustard seed is tiny. Like, it's nothing. But he said, if you have faith in him, if you have faith in Jesus, if you have faith in the Lord our God, that much, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it'll move. Nothing will be impossible. All you need is a seed. All you need is a seed. So say after me, to believe is a powerful thing. We got to catch this. If you plant your faith in the mountain, you may think that it's not enough. You know, it's like, I don't know if I can have faith for that. I don't know if I can believe for that. Like, oh, that's a hard thing. Like, you may feel like your faith is not enough, but God says, just plant it. Plant it in me. Plant your faith in me in that mountain. He's telling somebody, I don't know, like when I was getting this ready, somebody needs to hear this. You don't feel like your faith is enough, but he says, just plant it. Plant it. Ecclesiastes 4:11-4, it talks about, you know, to everything, there's, you know, the song. But anyways, it says, farmers who wait for perfect weather never plant. If they watch every cloud, they never harvest. If you need a harvest, that means you have to plant your seed. No matter what is going on in life, if you don't plant, you're not going to get your harvest. We have to plant the truth of the word. No matter what is going on, if a farmer doesn't plant at the right season, at the right time, even if it's raining, even if there's wind, even whatever, if he's like, well, guess I can't plant, then guess what? He's not going to have a harvest when he needs one. You got to plant the seed. And I'm talking about the truth of the word. I'm not talking about like going and, I mean, you can't apply it to physical, but I'm talking about the truth of the word. His promise is that if you plant your seed, if you plant your faith, even if it's small, it's going to produce something. It's his promise because in Isaiah chapter 55, in Isaiah chapter 55 and in verse 11, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. If you plant the seed of the word in your mountain, something is going to happen because you can't plant a stick of dynamite in the ground and light it and expect nothing to happen. Something's going to happen. And the word of God is like dynamite. It is power. It is explosive. It makes things happen. It makes rocks and hard things move. If you plant the word of God, it's going to do something because that's what it's designed to do. How did God even make things? In the word, it says, what? He said, let there be, and there was. He just spoke. That's his word. So if you plant the word of God in your situation, if you plant Jesus, the truth of Jesus, things have to happen. And that tiny bit of faith that you think you have has the power to move the mountain in your life. It does. You may think it's not enough, but it is. It's enough. You may think, you know, I'm not strong enough. I'm not strong enough to handle this. And God is telling you today, yes, you are. You may think, I can't, you know, you're psyching yourself out. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't believe for that. God is telling you today, yes, you can. You're thinking, I won't make it. He is telling you, yes, you will. Yes, you will. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You have the power of the Most High Living God on your side. You don't have to do it on your own. That's our problem when we try to do it on our own. But when we surrender to the living God and we say, Lord, I'm going to walk on the water and I'm going towards you despite the wind, despite the waves, guess what? things are going to happen. Things are going to happen. We don't have to do anything other than plant our faith. You're knowing in God's promise into the mountain, and you're going to watch it fall. And you know what? I tell you what, we all have problems. Like, they may be different, but if you are having a perfect life right now, like everything is just peachy keen and going 100% your way, please talk to me, because I want to know what you're doing, because I want to do it too. You know, we all have situations in our life, things that are hard, things that press us, things that seem to be blocking our way or want to distract us or tear us down. I mean, that's life. That's the world. But we have the God of all the universe, the God who loves us, who loves you so much, and he's on our side. He is on our side, and he fights for us. That's the promise in the word, that he fights for us. What does it say? The battle's mine, says the Lord. He fights for us. And your faith can grow. That's the cool thing, is that, you know, your faith, you may start out with, you know, the small amount that you think you have. Like, that can grow, man. Like, just like a seed you plant in the ground. It's going to grow, a plant, you know, it's going to grow and it's going to grow. Your faith can grow. It's like a muscle. You know, you exercise, and things that you don't need, things that you don't want, will fall away, and your muscles will begin to grow and get stronger. And that's how it is as we exercise our faith in God. You know, our spirit man, our spiritual muscles get stronger, and they grow. And some of you may be thinking right now, like, well, you know, shoot. God must want me to be really buff, because I am having to believe for a lot right now. Like, I'm going to be spiritually ripped when we get to heaven, tell you what. Like, but you know what? We just have to decide, do we believe God or don't we? Are we going to take him at his word, or are we not? I mean, we just have to decide. And something that happens, and even I've, you know, caught myself saying it, or I've heard other people say it, is like they think that everything that happens is, you know, like, is just the will of God. Like, everything, you know, well, that was God's will for that to happen. It's like, well, no, you put yourself in that situation, and then that happened because you allowed it to happen. That wasn't God that did it. I mean, like, yes, God is all sovereign, and he is in control, but we have a part to play. Otherwise, what's the point of us being here? Like, God gave us a purpose and a plan. We have a part to play. You know, a farmer just doesn't go out into the field, an empty field. You know, he's not planted anything. He just goes out there and be like, well, Lord, if it's your will, the plants will grow and the harvest will come and we will eat in winter. You know, no, like, they have to go and they till the ground, they plant their seed, they water it, they tend it, and then they believe that those seeds that they planted and that work that they're putting into those seeds, that is going to produce something. I mean, we got to believe God and plant ourselves in him. Plant our faith in that hard ground and watch things happen. Like, we got to believe. We can't just do nothing. We have to take God at his word, stand on it, let it roll around inside of us, tend it, water that word, and then believe him that he is going to do something with that faith that we planted in him. That's his promise. Hallelujah. So do we believe that God can, that he will? Then we got to start speaking into what we're believing for. We got to speak the word. That is our seed. The word is our seed. The words that we say are our seed. What we plant today will provide our harvest tomorrow. So we have to think about, what are we planting? What are we planting? What are we speaking? Are we planting seeds of negativity? Are we planting seeds of anger, doubt, fear? I mean, if you have a mountain that you need moved in your life, don't start adding rocks and more dirt to it. Like, come on. Like, your words will either build your mountain higher or tear it down. And you have that choice. It's your words. In Proverbs 18:21, man, this, you know, in the Bible is described as a sword, and it cuts us, but it also is good. Like, and this scripture, oh, it gets me. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So if you love to talk, and talking's not bad. It's what's coming out of your mouth that matters. What are you saying when you talk? When you talk, what is coming out of you? Is it adding more rocks to your mountain? Or is it tearing those things down? Is it planting more dynamite into that issue? Are you planting more seeds that are going to just move that mountain? What are we doing with what we're talking? Oh, well, my husband is just a worthless bum. He doesn't do nothing. Like, he just goes home and sits on the couch. And my kids, I mean, they're a mess. Like, they're so dumb, and they're so horrible. Like, I mean, like, I don't know what to do with them. My job, everything is just bad. Like, my boss, oh, I can't stand my boss. I can't stand my coworkers. Like, they're all just, like, they need to get a clue. Like, my goodness. I mean, basically, like, my whole life is just a mess. Do you think that that helps you? It may feel good to vent. I like to vent. But before we do that, we have to understand a farmer, when he plants corn in Ohio, he's not expecting pumpkins to come up. You know, over there, it's corn and soybeans are the biggest thing that I've seen. I mean, really, is there anything else? Corn and soybeans? Hay, excuse me. I have to be careful. The Cartiers also are from there as well. So, cows, yes. There's a turkey farm nearby. You can smell that from a mile away. I love Ohio. I just like giving Mitch a hard time. But you can't plant one thing and then get mad at God that you're getting, come on. Like, if you're planting garbage, you can't be expecting roses to grow and then get mad at God when it's just more garbage and junk in your ground. Like, come on. Like, we have to, whatever we're sowing, that's what we're going to reap. Whatever we're sowing, you can't be planting seeds of junk and get mad that your life is junky. You can't, but the awesome thing is that if you are planting God's word into your life, you can know that he is for you and that the promise is already yours. If you are planting rose seeds, I don't know what those look like, but like if you are planting corn seeds or whatever, if you are planting the word of God, then you can expect that to come up. It's gonna produce a harvest because that's how he works. You plant him, you're gonna get him. That's how it works. Words are serious business, and as believers, we need to get serious about learning how to use them. I mean, we already talked about Romans 4:17, where God uses his own words to call things that are not as though they were. That's how he creates. I mean, there wasn't light before God said, let there be light, but his words made it happen. And maybe you're thinking, like, well, how do I do that? A lot of us have spent our whole lives telling it like it is. You know? I mean, but it takes no faith to tell things like they are. Look around. I mean, I can tell you all kinds of things of how they are, but that takes no faith. How we feel, I mean, shoot, man, look at social media. Like, what? Like, you know, like, all kinds of people just telling what they feel and how things are and whatever. I mean, like, so we might be thinking, well, you know, so you mean I'm supposed to say I'm healed when I feel sick, and I'm supposed to say that I'm prosperous, you know, when I have, like, 20 cents in my bank account right now? Like, that sounds like lying to me. And God says, do not lie. So I'm just going to speak what it is. Well, there's a big difference between lying and speaking by faith. And the gist of it is that a lie is meant to deceive someone. It's designed to make someone believe something that's not true. But to speak by faith is simply to speak words that agree with the word of God instead of the circumstances around you. I'm going to say that again. To speak by faith is simply to speak words that agree with the word of God instead of your physical stuff around you. It's speaking from your spirit instead of from your mind. Say this after me. To believe is a powerful thing. And my God is bigger than the mountain. One more time. To believe is a powerful thing. And my God is bigger than the mountain. Shoot, man, like, we got to catch this. Takes no faith to tell it like it is. Takes no faith to say that you don't feel good when you don't feel good. I mean, it takes no faith to say that your kids are a mess when they're a mess. It takes no faith to say that your marriage sucks when it sucks. Like, I mean, like, we have to, shoot, like, we got to start speaking the word instead of speaking our flesh and what we see, because our words are life and death, and those that like to talk are going to reap the fruits thereof. And I don't know about you, but I would rather reap life than death. I would rather see my mountain crumble than it get higher than it was yesterday. Like, whew. Are we okay? Is everybody okay this morning? Hallelujah. Let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel. Now, this is the account of David and Goliath. We know about David. Most of us know about David, King David. If you know about David, you know he was a pretty messed up dude. Like, he wasn't perfect. But he loved God. He loved God. He loved God. He made mistakes, but man, did he love God. He loved God. And you know what? You can make a mistake, but shoot, like, God is always there. He is always there. What did he say about David? He was a man after his own heart. Like, he loved God. God just wants us to love him. Faith and love are connected. And God is dealing with me about that for a sermon for a different time, but faith and love are connected. If you love someone, I know that Mitch loves me. I know that he loves me. I have never had a doubt in my mind that he loves me. Do you know how I know that he loves me? We can be sitting at a restaurant and a pretty girl will walk by and he'll keep talking to me instead of looking at her when she walks by. Have you ever been with a guy where you're sitting there talking to him and another girl walks by and then it's this? And you're like, why don't you go walk with her instead? I'll see you later. Like, come on. Mitch honors me, and he respects me, even when I don't always deserve it, even when I don't always treat him the best. He loves me. I never have a doubt in my mind that he loves me. So if he tells me he's going to do something for me, I believe him. And love and faith are connected. We have to understand that God loves us so much. He loves us so much. And you know, Jesus was a promise before he came. Jesus was a promise, and God loved us enough to send his son who he had promised. He held up his promise, and if God gave you a promise, if he said, I'm going to heal you, he's going to heal you. If he said your children are going to serve the Lord, they're going to serve the Lord. Whatever God gave you as a promise, he loves you enough that he's going to keep that promise. You just got to keep planting your faith in him. The word says, let your roots grow down deep in him. Let your roots grow down deep. You know, when a storm comes, there was the one time we had traveled and we came back and we had just arrived on the tarmac in Tucson and we were trying to get off of the plane. And there was like a crazy like microburst storm. Like they closed the door to the plane. We were on the ground, thank God, but we were in the plane and everything was shaking and it was like this huge storm that blew through Tucson. And when we got in the car, we were driving around and there were trees that were falling down everywhere, just everywhere. And we were driving around and looking at all the damage that had happened. And the crazy thing was, is that all the trees that fell, you could see all their roots were in this little ball. Like, it's like, how was that tree even supported? There was just this little clump of roots. Like, there was nothing deep. How did that tree even stand? And that's how we need to be with God. The word says to let your roots grow down deep in him. So that way when the storm comes, and the storms do come, they can be big, they can be small, but we all get the storms. If our roots are down deep in him, that wind can blow, but we are not going to fall because our roots are deeper than the problem. Our roots are in him. Hallelujah. So our words are our seed. Amen. So we're there in 1 Samuel 17. Did I give you that, Peter? Did I give it? Okay. We're in 1 Samuel 17 and in verse 45. This is David and Goliath. So what had happened was, if just a little recap here, is that, or background, is that the Israelite army had come to face the Philistine army, and they were like, you know, facing each other. And Goliath was like their champion. He was like, what, over 9 feet tall or something like ridiculous and some giant dude. And he was like, he represented all of the Philistines. And he went out there and he challenged them. And he said, you know, send out your best warrior. And if they defeat me, then all of us, you know, will submit to you. And if we defeat them, then, you know, you guys are ours. And basically it was like winner take all whoever fought Goliath. And David was the youngest of 9 brothers, and he was a shepherd boy, a boy, young. And he had gone to where the army was camped to take some food to his brothers and stuff, and he had heard about this guy, Goliath, that was challenging the Israelites. And he stood up to him, this little guy, like a young boy, a teenager. And in verse 45, it says, David replied to the Philistine, "You come to me with sword, spear, and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head. Then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone assembled here will know that the Lord rescues his people. Not just with the sword and spear. This battle is the Lord's, and he will give you to us." David, by his words, he was planting seeds of faith into the mountain. He was speaking faith with his words. Because was he smaller than Goliath? Yes. Was Goliath physically stronger than him? Yes. Like, you know, Goliath, in all sense of the word, should have creamed David. But David had the revelation of the God who was bigger than Goliath. And he spoke, speaking on what he knew about God instead of what he saw about Goliath. Your words are your seed. They will either tear your mountain down or make it even higher. It is our choice. So what do we need? What do we need? What is your mountain? What are you needing? You plant the word into it. You plant your seed of faith into it. Water it, tend it, and it is going to produce a harvest. Things will happen. Some believers think that by acknowledging the problem, that that's not faith. Like, you know, because that's making it real. Like, if you talk about the problem, then you're not having faith because you're acknowledging that problem, and that, you know, that's going to make it real. I mean, the problem is going to be there whether you acknowledge it or not. So why don't you just acknowledge it and deal with it? I mean, let me give you an example. So we had that awesome time in worship, Oasis worship, out at the airport park. We had been planning that for a few months, and a few years ago, God had told me, you know, we want you to do this worship event out at airport park. I was like, okay, God. And we didn't have the time. We didn't have he didn't give us the day. And then all of a sudden, a couple months ago, he had said, okay, now's the time. And we're like, oh my gosh, like, okay, we're going to get the ball rolling. And we didn't have the finances for it. We didn't have the equipment for it. But we just trusted God, took him at his word, and he provided everything. Like, we had donations. We had people that brought equipment. Like, he just made a way when there was no way. But the day before Oasis happened, I felt sick. I felt horrible. My throat hurt, and you know, you get that feeling that, like, it's like the pre-warning where you're like, something's not right here, you know? And this is not good, you know? Like, this is not how I should be feeling. And I remember feeling that way, and it was like, oh no. Oh no. And we have Oasis tomorrow, and what if I can't sing? And then it's just going to be horrible. Like, I'm going to go up there and not have a voice. And like, oh no, like, oh man, like, we've been planning this. And like, starting to think about all these situations and what could happen and what would happen and how I'd be embarrassed, or how, you know, if we canceled, how that would be horrible. And like, who could we get, you know, Peter would have to sing, or we'd have to ask somebody else. And like, that, I mean, and all of a sudden, I remember being in my car, and I'm driving, and I'm thinking about all these things, and then it was just like, no. No. And I sat there in my car, and I don't know about you, like, sometimes you can even be by yourself. Like, I was driving in my car, and I started calling myself out. I started calling that stuff out, like, God, you know, I'm feeling this in my throat right now, and in the name of Jesus, like, I rebuke sickness. I am not going to have a sore throat. I am not going to have, you know, I am not going to have a cracky voice. Like, everything's going to be fine in the name of Jesus. I am well. I am healed. And whatever this is, I don't accept it. You got to go. Like, I called it out in my car. And I don't know about you, like, sometimes you can even be taught, like, sometimes I talk to God, or sometimes I yell at the devil or whatever by myself, and you can feel a little strange even though nobody's with you. Like, you're like, well, this is weird. But I did it. Like, I called it out. Like, devil, you are not going to make me sick. And my kids are in the back like, Mom, who are you talking to? I'm talking to the devil, because he's trying to mess with me right now. And God is bigger than this scratchy throat or whatever is going to happen. And I called it out in my car, and I popped a cough drop. I went on with my day, and I was fine. There was some, I remember growing up, when I would feel sick, there was a saying that we would always say, and I don't remember where it came from. But, you know, my foot is on the rock, and devil, you will not make me sick. My foot is on the rock, and devil, you will not make me sick. You know, and that's what I kept saying in my car. I'm like, God, you're bigger. Thank you, God, for my healing. And that was it. So did the cough drop make a miracle happen in my body? No. Did me eating a cough drop mean that I didn't believe that I was healed? No, that didn't mean that either. I mean, it's kind of like Pastor Calvin. Him going to the hospital and having that issue dealt with didn't mean that he didn't believe God. God has showed himself every single way through that. Same with Marcus. God has showed himself every single way. Same with Jacob when he was in the hospital. Like, some people think that just because you receive treatment or whatever, that that's not faith. It's like, no. If you have the peace that God wants you to do that, then he's going to carry you through, and he's going to make a way, and it's going to happen. Things are going to happen. So I had to, the deal was already done in my head, and it was done. So it was done. Faith is not denying that you have a problem. It's denying that problem a place of influence in your life. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I didn't let that scratchy throat influence the plan that God had had for us for Oasis. I acknowledged that it was there, and I took care of it. Because my God is bigger than that. Faith is not denying that you have a problem. You know, it's like, okay, well, if I, la, 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 you know, there's nothing. I'm not going to acknowledge it. It's not there. Like, no, call it out. Call out your mountain. You call it to the floor. Just like David did to Goliath. He said, I see you. I see you. But my God is bigger than you. You say to that mountain, I see you, mountain. I mean, a mountain is big. You can't pretend it's not there. It's big. It's there. It's okay to say, you know, I got a big mountain, but my God is bigger than this mountain. Yeah, I know you're there, mountain, but guess what? Guess what? I serve someone that's bigger than you. I serve the God of all the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I am planting the Word of God into you. So guess what? You got to move. You got to move. You're going to have to fall because I got places to go, things to do, people to see. God's got a plan for me on the other side, and you're in the way. You know, like, come on, we got to call out. We can't just pretend that things aren't going to happen. Like, you know, too many Christians go around believing like, or making it seem to everybody else like our lives are perfect, and, you know, we dress perfect, we look perfect. Like, sorry, no, things happen. Things happen, but we serve a God who is bigger than our circumstance. We serve a God who is bigger than our mountain, and that's why you need Jesus, not because problems aren't gonna happen, but because when they come, he gets you through. I don't know what people do without Jesus. I don't know how they make it. I mean, that's the honest to God truth. I don't know what I would do without Jesus. I don't think one of my kids would be here today without Jesus, to be quite honest. But despite our circumstance, that's why the world needs Jesus. Not that he's going to make everything perfect. One day he will when he comes back, and we all get to go to glory with him. But while we're still here, he is our hope. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So what is the seed that brings healing to your body? It's not works. It's not anything that you can do. It's the word of God. Speak the word into yourself. If you need healing, it's not you're not going to be able to, I mean, speak the word into yourself. Whatever situation that you're facing, finances, health, marital, I mean, whatever it is, I encourage you today to search the word, find two or three scriptures that pertain to your situation, and you grab a hold of them, and you don't let go. You grab a hold of those as your truth, and you just stay on them. You speak the word, you speak the word, you speak the word. And I don't know about you, but I do not know the whole Bible by heart. I am not yet one of those people that can say, well, in this and this and this it says, and in this and this and this it says, and this and it, like Eric, our Eric Meehan, like, he was so awesome about that. It's like, well, you know, in 1 Timothy it says this and whatever. Like, I know what it says somewhere, but I am like, in the Bible, I know it says this, but I haven't gotten, I'm moving from glory to glory, and I'm going to get there. Speak in faith, right? Tearing down my mountain. But I have this thing called Google. That I can real easy, if I'm feeling sick, Siri, give me some scriptures on healing. Google, give me a scripture on praying for my kids, because my kids need it today. I need it today. Well, there you go. Shoot, see? So if you don't you don't know any, Google it. There is resources out there where you can get the word into your hand. Don't feel like, well, I don't know enough of the word to whatever. I'm not there either, but all you need is to grab a hold of your seed. All you need is to grab a hold of your seed. Google scriptures on hope, scriptures on peace, scriptures about provision, scriptures about prosperity. Whatever you need, or look in your Bible. I mean, some of you have concordances and it gives you topics. Like, find it. Find it. There are resources out there for you. And get a hold of those scriptures, and you don't let them go. Don't let them go, and you start planting them and planting them and mull them over and over and over and over. Tend the ground, plant it again. Tend the ground, plant it again. Give it a little water. Repeat that same scripture. Yeah, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see your kid doing something else. Well, thank you, Jesus. Your word says that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I'm declaring that my son, my daughter, they're going to serve the Lord. And I know that you are bigger than what I see. You are bigger than what they're doing. You are bigger than what I feel. And Lord, as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord, and they belong to you. Whatever you need, your marriage, and your word, it says, Lord, that what you brought together, let no one tear apart what you have brought together, Lord. And I just continue to pray that for my marriage, Lord, that we will just continue to be brought closer and closer together, that no person, no thing, no situation is going to tear us apart, but we're just going to get closer and closer. Whatever you need, you find a scripture, 2, 3 scriptures, whatever. I mean, don't overwhelm yourself. You need to get something where you can memorize it and just say it, say it, say it, because that is the truth. In the word, it says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. He repeated it twice for a reason. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. That song in Sunday school, when I was preparing this, I thought about that song. Was to say, read your Bible, pray every day, and you'll grow, grow, grow. The more you hear it, the more you do it, your faith is going to grow. And the more you say it, the more you hear it, it's going to be realer to you. That scripture will become more real to you than the Goliath and the mountain that you see standing in your way. That's how the word works. It is life. Say, God is bigger. That was weak sauce. God is bigger than the mountain. Hallelujah. To believe is a powerful thing. And really, it's simple. It's simple. Faith is just catching the revelation that God is bigger than your situation. That's it. It's catching the truth of God over the truth of your situation. Because the truth is that David was facing a huge, like, ripped dude that was gonna kill him. If he tried to do it by himself on his own, he would have been dead. But God was bigger. You only need one spark to start a wildfire. You only need faith the size of a mustard seed to move your mountain. Well, we have to stop trying to fix the problem on our own, because the word says it's not by might or by my power, but by his spirit, says the Lord. It's by the word of God. Goliath taunted the Israelites for 40 days. 40 days. They wasted 40 days hearing this guy spurt profanities and like just awful things. Awful things about God and his people. But it took 40 days, and all it took was one boy who had the revelation of the greatness of God to tear that giant down. One boy. That was it. One person who had the revelation of the greatness of God. That's my prayer for us today. Ephesians 1:18 said that Paul prayed that I pray that your hearts would be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope that he has given to those he has called. Ephesians 1:18. That's my prayer, that our hearts would be flooded with light, that we would be enlightened to the greatness of God. One boy who caught the reality of God over the truth of his situation. The truth is that you can feel sick. The truth is that maybe you don't have but 25 cents in your bank account. Maybe the truth is that your kid is running amok and doing whatever. But God is bigger. But God is greater. He is our truth over the reality that we see and feel. One more time, to say after me. To believe is a powerful thing. And my God is bigger than the mountain. Don't focus on your problem. Oh, that's too big, that's too hard, that's too much, it's too scary. Focus on the seed that moves that mountain. Plant the word like dynamite into your mountain and let your faith blow that giant to bits. I'm going to close with this. I don't know. Any of you guys like country music? Nah. I don't know if you guys remember that song from Aaron Tippin, 1991, You Gotta Stand for Something. Anybody? No? Well, in the chorus, it says, say you gotta stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Gotta be your own man. Not a puppet on a string. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. Gotta stand for something or you fall for anything. That will preach. That will preach. That's not a faith. That's not a Christian song. You're like, but I'm sorry, that'll preach. You have to stand for something. You have to stand up for what's right. You have to stand up for your marriage. You have to stand up for what you're believing God for. You have to stand up for your kids. You have to stand up for your relationships, for your family, or your what? You're just going to let them fall? And we can't let the devil, Satan, life circumstances jerk us around like he owns us. He doesn't. And instead of him trying to tell us lies and feed us lies, we tell the devil what's up. We tell the enemy what's up. We tell that mountain what's up. Yeah, Goliath was out there saying all kinds of stuff. But David went and spoke to him the truth of God, the greatness of God. Never compromise what's right and uphold your family name. What is our family name? Jesus. Jesus. We uphold our family name. The word says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, that the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against him. And when that giant comes, that mountain comes, you hold the name of Jesus high. And you don't accept anything less. We've got to stand for something or we'll fall for anything. We lift the banner of our family high. Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he is our truth, and he is bigger than the mountain. He is bigger than the mountain. He is bigger than the giants that we face. One more time, say after me, to believe is a powerful thing. And my God, catch this, my God, my God is bigger than the mountain. Stand to your feet with me, will you please? Lord, you are awesome. You are awesome. You are the great and mighty King. You are everything. You are everything. And you are good. Lord, we look to you right now as our helper, as our source, as our comforter. You are everything. You are bigger than the Goliaths that are coming up in our life. You are bigger than bad reports. You are bigger than hard circumstances. You make a way where there is no way. You make life happen where there shouldn't be life. You are the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus, you are everything to us. And we stand on your promises today. We call out the mountain. Right now where you're standing, you know the problems that you face. You know the Goliath that is taunting you. You know the mountain that is trying to block your path. And right now, just begin to call out that mountain. You call out that giant. We say, I see you. I see you, problem. I'm not going to pretend like you're not there, but in fact, I'm going to shine the light on you, the light of the Word of God, the light of the revelation and truth of Jesus. And you know what, problem? You're not bigger than my God. You're not bigger than my Jesus. And I'm planting the Word into you. I am planting my faith into you, and all I need is to grab hold of one seed of faith, one seed of faith, and that's enough to make you crumble. That's enough to turn you over into the sea, mountain. You're not bigger than my God. You're not bigger than my God. If you need prayer for anything right now, as we're closing, I invite you to come, and we will pray with you. Lord, you are bigger. You are bigger than anything. To believe is a powerful thing. To believe is a powerful thing. Don't think that you aren't strong enough, because you are. Don't think that you aren't great enough, because you are. Don't think that you aren't worthy enough, because you are. The blood of Jesus made you worthy. His Spirit gives you strength. He is more than enough. In the Word, it says that He will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. So tell Him what you need. Tell Him what you need. What did we read from the Word? Faith is believing and trusting and knowing that He loves us enough to answer us when we call to Him. So, we thank you, Jesus. Right now, just where you're standing, just have your eyes closed so you're not looking at anybody. And we're just going to lift our hands. You know, you can lift them a little, lift them a lot, but we're just going to lift them. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord, you are bigger than the mountain. You are bigger than the giant. And I turn it all over to you. I'm done trying to do it myself. I trust you. I love you. And I know that you're going to pull me through. I feel like there's somebody, maybe more than one, but there's at least somebody here that you're thinking, why me? Why me? Why me? Why me? Shoko reba dewe. Do shoko roboti bini manti mini mandi bikiri bati. Why me? And the Lord says, because I have good plans for you. I have good plans for you, plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope. But that prosper means that you need to grow. You need to be bigger to reach what I am giving out to you. You need to be stronger to be able to reach what I am handing to you. And so this testing is a time to grow, a time to lean on me, a time to lean on me, a time to lean on me. So lean on me and not on them. Lean on me, let your roots grow deep down in me, and watch me, watch me, watch me, watch me. I have not brought you this far to let you go, says the Lord. I have not brought you this far to let you go. Glory to God. Poco va di me, di mai. Da corre batti si via, di corre mondi mani mi di di a ti. Di mo corre mondi mi scinti di bibi di. Just stay reverent in this time. Just let your heart connect with His right now. There's somebody here that is facing a financial decision. I don't know if it's business or like investment or something with finances. You're facing a financial decision. And the Lord says, look to me and I will give you your answer. And when I give you your answer, you can trust me. He says, I will show you which way to go. Hallelujah. Do you know the Lord loves you so much? He loves you so much. He loves you so much. Oh, man. He loves you enough. He loves you enough. Hallelujah. Lord, I just thank you for the word that you have for us today. Lord, I just pray right now that this seed of the word would grow and take root in our hearts, Lord, that you would illuminate our mind, that we would be enlightened to the greatness of you, God, that we would not focus on the size of the mountain or the size of the giant, but that instead we would start to focus on the greatness and the enormity and the size of you, God. You are the absolute. You are the end all and be all. There's nothing bigger than you. There's nothing greater than you. There's nothing impossible for you. You're the God of restoration. You're the God of second chances. You're the God of hope. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. God is good. He is so good. He is so good. And I encourage you today, just like Pastor Calvin said, in honor of him, if you took nothing from this message today other than one thing, let it be that to believe is a powerful thing. To believe is a powerful thing. Don't think your faith isn't enough. It is. Hallelujah. Well, just a reminder, tonight we have service at 3 o'clock, our Spanish service. No service Wednesday night, so don't come. Enjoy time with your families, and we will see you again Sunday. Hallelujah. Have a great week. God bless you.